Price is Right. Are you familiar with that one? The Price is Right. So we're going to play that a little bit later on in our show, our service today. So you notice we have four doors up here, and I want you to kind of take a look at those and think about what might be behind them, because the contents of the door could be yours. And later on, I will call on a contestant. So be ready for that later on in our service. But before we get to that, let's take a look at our sermon notes. There is that thing we have to do. So let's take a look at that. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about making the right choices in life. I'm reading a book right now. It's a great book. Usually I prefer books with pages in them, but I'm reading this one on my Kindle. And, well, there's some pros and cons when you use an electronic device. Obviously, you can take it anywhere, and you can read lots of books at once on that device. You don't have to carry all the actual books with you. That's a pro. On the downside, because I like to read at night before I go to bed, if I'm reading in bed and I drop my little paperback, it's no big deal. I drop the Kindle, it makes a loud clunk, wakes up my wife, it's all downhill from there. So, that's one of those things. But a great, great book. It's called 102 Minutes. 102 Minutes. It is the untold story of the fight for survival on September 11th in the Twin Towers. It is, I would say, at the same time, one of the most gripping, inspiring, and riveting books I've ever read, and yet one of the most depressing as well, because a lot of people die. A lot of people die. There were 14,000 people in the Twin Towers on September 11th, 2001. And almost 12,000 of them made it out alive, but 2,749 did not. And for a lot of them, it was because they did not make the right choice. And literally, some of them picked the wrong door. In particular, there was a group of people in an office about 8:46 in the morning after the plane hit the North Tower. And after they had figured out that this was really an emergency, because there were a lot of people in the beginning who didn't understand at all what had happened. And now as the news was starting to trickle out, they knew that they had to leave their office. And they had to make a choice. Either they would go through the door of the stairwell, and you're 100 stories up, this is going to be a very long trip down. Or you could take the easier route, and you could go through the door to the elevator. And that's what most people did. And that choice led to death, where the other one led to life. In the same way, we make choices every day throughout our life that lead to either life or death. So we want to talk about those doors this morning, and one in particular. It's not a door like these. It has a knob and hinges or a frame. It's not made of wood or in these not made of cardboard, but it's a person. And that person, of course, is Jesus Christ. And he is the door that leads to the two things that all people want, regardless of age or life circumstances. Every one of us is looking for a life of security and significance. And yet, most people will find neither. Oh, we think we might have security. We've worked our entire life. We have a good living. We provide for our family. We send them off to college. They come back for a while. We send them out again. They get a job. They get married. They have their own kids. And the whole cycle continues. But we're talking about security not only for this life, but for the one to come. And not just that. Our goal is not just to breathe some air and then one day die and then go to heaven. We want to make a difference, don't we? We think we can find it behind one of these other doors, but only one. And not just of these four, but of the many choices in life, only one leads to security and significance. Now, the good news for us is that our God understands this. God knows you better than anyone, better than you know yourself, and he knows that you need these two things. And so Jesus says very plainly, very clearly in the Gospel of John, he gives us the key in these four simple words. He says, I am the door. I am the door. Through him you will find both security and significance. If you look there in your notes, verses 7 to 9. Now we need to know the context, as always, in any verse of Scripture. Jesus had been talking to an audience like this about being the good shepherd. Now people understood shepherding. It was a part of their life. They saw them all the time. You can still see shepherds today in Israel, especially if you go down from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea. All kinds of shepherds out there in the field. But the people didn't quite understand what the good shepherd meant. So Jesus said, all right, I'll tell you a little more. I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. There's two kinds of sheepfolds in Judea. One is a very large sheepfold. You can find them outside of major towns like Jerusalem. And it's where most of the sheep are kept throughout the year. And all the shepherds pool their sheep. They all put them in this huge sheepfold. And the sheep know their shepherd by his voice. But there's other sheepfolds, very much like the ones the shepherds had when they were out there keeping their sheep at night when the angels appeared when Jesus was born. It's kind of a makeshift deal. It's about thigh high on three sides piled up with rocks. Sheep aren't going to jump over that. But on the fourth side, there's an opening about 5 or 6 feet wide. And the shepherd will lead his sheep into the sheepfold at night, and then he will literally lay down in the opening. Jesus said, I am the door. No one gets out, no one comes in, nothing gets out, nothing comes in except through him. And so as the good shepherd, as he had begun, the good shepherd is the one who provides both protection and he's also going to provide, be your provider as well. So security and significance. We have this little verse here, and it was from our gospel lesson earlier. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least. If you have a pencil, follow along and circle those words. You are by no means least. You know anything about Bethlehem? The little town of Bethlehem? Most people didn't even know it existed back in the day. Or if they did hear of a Bethlehem, they confused it with another one that was far in the north. And so the prophecy was, you are by no means least, even though you are tiny, even though in the world's eyes you are insignificant. Out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. So many people in life today feel like their life does not count. That they are insignificant, that there is no meaning. And the world says, well, pick one of these doors, and you're going to find significance. And yet, as they go through those doors, as they make those choices, they don't find fulfillment or meaning at all. So this morning, and over these next 5 weeks, during this season of Epiphany, even as Bethlehem became significant, we'll learn as well that our life, no matter who we are, at what stage, has meaning as well. So the secret to finding significance in this life is to walk through the one door, named Jesus Christ. Because whenever you have a door, you really only have one of two choices, don't you? I mean, any door, either you open from the outside and you go in, or you open from the inside and you go out. It's about all you can do with the door. Either exit or you enter. So the first part, Jesus is telling us, is that we can exit any part of our meaningless life. Any part at all, because all of life is indeed a choice. How many of you in here are married? Raise your hand. Did you know that that was a choice? You entered through a door called your wife or your husband. How many of you have children? Raise your hand. Did you realize that was a choice? Now, Sharon and I have three boys because when it came to the fourth door, the fourth child, we were way too tired to open it. Your job is a door. It's a choice. Your career is a door. It's a choice. And you go through those and you find either meaning or frustration. And we've all been there and we all understand that. If we go back to our analogy of the Twin Towers, in one particular case, as people left their office and they were groping through the dust and the debris and the smoke and all the confusion, and they had their choice of the door on the one side that led to the stairwell and the door on the other side that led to the elevator. Literally, if they would take the right door, they would live. And literally, if they would take the wrong door, they would die. And so also the choices in our life also ultimately lead either to life or death. Jesus says that wrong doors are robbers and thieves. You go through the wrong door, even though you think it's the right door, and all you are going to have is frustration. Your joy will be robbed. Your satisfaction will be taken from you. Your significance will no longer be there. You won't find the meaning that you desire. So this morning, let's take a look. We've got four doors. I need one contestant. Okay, come on up here. Now, we're going to have to do this just like on a game show. So you have to act like you're really excited. Jump up and down. All right, there you go. Very good. Okay. Now, face the audience. You have to tell everybody who you are.
Hi, I'm Nolan Hollander.
Okay, this is Nolan. So everybody say, hi, Nolan.
Hi, Nolan.
And then say, welcome to The Price is Right. Okay, very good. Now, normally you have to wear a costume, but you're looking good, so we'll let you go, all right? Okay, you have four doors. One, two, three, or four. All right? Now, some of these doors are gag things, or they are things, for the sake of our message today, they are things that people think will bring them meaning and significance, but they truly don't. All right? So, you want to pick one? Okay, pick a door. I'm going to open that one. Number one, and I'll help you out a little bit. Go ahead, and I just need to hold on to the frame. There you go. Open it up. All right, we're going to have you hold it up. There you go. Can everybody see what that is? It's a dollar sign with muscles. All right? Okay, so you chose door number one. And this is the door that lots of people, our world tells us, this is the door that leads to meaning. Money and power and influence and things. But you know what? None of these things will last, will they? And we can take none of them with us. So that's door number one. And this may fall over. All right, since you've been such a good helper, stay up here. You're not done yet. Open door number two, okay? There we go. Door number two, and this one's a little hard to see. This is the picture of a wonderful family. Wonderful family. This is actually my pastoral assistant, Monica, and her beautiful family. Okay? Door number two, and you think, well, family? I mean, that's a great thing, right? And of course it is. But family alone does not lead to significance, because our family can die, our family can disappoint us, and they can leave. Well, what about door number three? Let's go on down the row here. Door number three, let's see what's in there. This one's a little hard to see, but we'll bring it up here. Did you know that the man who invented the red Solo cup just died? How disappointing. This is a door that represents fun and adventure. A door that a lot of us went through when we were younger, thinking this is going to bring meaning to my life. And all it brought was a hangover the next day. Or in some cases, more serious consequences. And the door is shut. And either literally or figuratively, it becomes a jail. And very difficult to get out of. Well, that's one through three, and we could have had lots more doors. Do you know how long it took me to make these things? So let's see what's under door number four. This is, of course, the Good Shepherd. It is through Jesus alone that we find security and significance in our lives. Before I conclude this morning, let's give Nolan a round of applause. Thank him for playing The Price is Right. You can sit down. We have a consolation prize for you. See me after the show. All right. So through Jesus alone, not only can we exit the meaningless parts of our lives, but we enter into the greatest relationship that sheep can ever have. You see, not only are we safe because Jesus is the door, no one gets into the sheepfold without first going through him. And we know that he would give his life for the sheep. But this relationship lasts for all of eternity. We are not only safe here, but we are safe forever. And we have a relationship that God had created in the very beginning with Adam and Eve that, because of our sin, has not been as meaningful and significant as God has intended, but one day will be fulfilled for us in heaven. And I'll close with this. If you've ever seen the movie Braveheart, William Wallace, I wish I had that great Scottish accent, as he was exhorting his men as they were going into battle, and isn't that kind of what life is, a battle sometime? And to give his men courage, he said, "Every man dies." He knew that a lot of those warriors would go into battle, and they would die. "Every man dies, but not every man lives. By the grace of God, we have entered the one door that leads not only to an existence, but it leads to a life of security and significance and meaning. It's my prayer for all of you that each day that you would make the choice to make your life count, to live a life of significance by continuing through that door, and that you would share your life for those who don't even know the door exists, so they could live that life too. And over these next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about what a life of significance truly looks like. I hope you'll join us. Amen.
Please rise. We're going to profess our faith in this song.